Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hi, my name is Ed Housam. I'm married to Elsie Housam for 59 years and have two sons. Ken is the oldest one and Stephen the youngest one. On June the 15th, 2021, I was diagnosed with high-grade bladder cancer, and Dr. Andreo said I should have my bladder out because he's afraid of it spreading. So this is what, and I don't remember a lot of stuff after surgery because I passed out. Okay, here's what we experienced. This is for my son. Okay, Ken said, when you went in, we all thought this was at most a day surgery in a hospital for a week or so, but turns out this was not the case. After surgery, I called and it seemed things went well. But as the day progressed and a few days after that, your phone calls became different. You claimed the nurses kidnapped you and you felt they were trying to kill you. Often when men over the age of 70 go through major surgery, a condition develops called post-op delirium. This is when you see things that are not there, or you have absence of doom and psychosis. Sometimes through the night, you got up and fell, pulling out your IV and abdominal drain tubes. We kept calling the hospital daily for an update, as this was during COVID-19, not able to visit at that time. Throughout the next few days, after you fell and pulling out your tube, the decision was made to get you into ultrasound and check on the tube placement. They're not aligned with your kidneys. They're going to put you out and to do a laparoscopy procedure to correct it. When they began with placing you on your stomach, you started to have your breathing affected and blood pressure drop to a critical level. Almost went into cardiac arrest, you're sent into the ICU. I was called to come to the hospital, and once the nurses found out I was a paramedic, let me into the ICU. They asked about your health and wanted to know why your abdomen was so distended. I said, this is not the way you normally are. That I suspected internal bleed or urine accumulation. A few days passed and your condition deteriorated. On my way home from seeing Mom, I received a phone call from the doctor at Surrey Memorial. I pulled the truck over to talk, updating me on your condition. They highly suspected your chance of survival is poor, and for the family to prepare that you would not make it and more than likely die. I called Mom after that and we both wept. A few days or perhaps a week went by. Hospital kept monitoring you and did ultrasound on your abdomen. Everyone's surprised, the ureter seemed to have fused to your kidney on one side. This is helping with your urine output, and a decision not to perform a procedure was made. I can't remember if they went in to fix the other side, but you continued to improve with urine output increasing. You steadily improved and Mom was allowed to visit. I took her several times to see you, hooked up the IV pump, Dallas machine and catheter bags hanging from both urine pieces. Your condition improved daily. You were discharged 3 months later and survived. You prayed daily for your survival and recovery. Tracy actually wrote a prayer for you. God was not ready for you yet, and we are grateful for that. And now I'm cancer free. One of the doctors said it was a miracle when I came off dialysis. Also, in September 22, after having an ultrasound, they found a blockage in my left kidney. On Sunday, Vince prayed for me because I was going in Monday to have surgery. He said, I have good news for you. You don't need an operation. God works miracles. And the prayer was, dear God, we thank you we can be here right now and ask you to hear our prayer today. Thank you that Pastor Steve was able to come and visit Dad. I'd like to ask you to provide wisdom and guide the hearts, the hands and minds of doctors and nursing staff caring for Dad. Please provide calm and peaceful comfort to the hearts and bodies of Mom and Dad during the time of healing and worry. As we lay hands here today with Dad and pray, we ask you for quick and steady healing. In God's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Praying works.
Well, good morning, Calvary. It is so great to be back with you again today in this capacity. A huge thank you to Pastor Steve for inviting me back again to share with you. It's a real honor to be here. And we're going to continue our month-long conversation on the topic of prayer. We have looked at the priority of prayer, and we have looked at the place of prayer and faith in our lives. And today we're going to discuss the plan of prayer, or having a plan to pray. We're going to ask some questions. We're going to get really practical. And then my hope is by the end of today, we will each have sort of a next step in mind, or be able to make a decision about what the next step is in our lives in terms of prayer. Now, I always have to start with a confession, and today's confession is that I will admit prayer is not the spiritual discipline that I get most excited about when I think about spiritual habits. But I do feel most connected to the Lord when I have a regular, consistent time of prayer in my life. I am more in tune with what God's called me to do. I'm more confident stepping out in that calling. I'm more sensitive to His voice when I have regular prayer in my life. I would say I'm more confident even in things like my parenting, my role as a spouse. Even within my friendships, I feel more secure and more confident when I'm spending time with God this way. It's kind of that vine and branches principle, right, from John 15, where the more connected I am to Him, the more I grow and I thrive. One little sort of unexpected revelation that came as part of this process of preparing for today, as I felt the Lord reminding me that I am entirely a product of the prayers of other people. So long before I knew anything about the Lord or understood Him in any way, there were people praying for me. And God answered their prayers, and that's what led me in many, many thousands of baby steps to being here with you today. So for example, my Nana prayed, that's my grandmother. She prayed for years for our family, including myself. I have an older sister who was a believer long before me, and she prayed for me. And when God started to work in me as a result of their prayers, I eventually had an opportunity to give my life to Christ. And what did I do in that moment? I prayed, right? That prayer of salvation was sort of a launching point for my journey of faith, my walk with Him. In my early years of faith, prayer led me into a series of cause and effect and dominoes. So it led me to a certain school where I met my best friend, and that friend and I kind of anchored ourselves here at Calvary. This is where I met my spouse, and this is where my love for missions grew, and all of that was a result of prayer. My love for missions led me to doing some education and experience with Youth with a Mission, and Youth with a Mission is where I really developed a solid understanding of basic theology. And ultimately really is where I felt my calling was confirmed, all because of prayer. Prayer has been like a gateway in my life for prophetic words to be spoken over me, for healing to take place in my body, for healing to take place in my mind. And prayer has really become a place of comfort for me. It's a place where I spend time with the Lord, where I can be where I can express myself, some might say vent a little to the Lord, and where He ministers to me, where He meets me where I'm at. I've experienced all sorts of things in prayer, of freedom, acceptance, of course, forgiveness, healing, guidance, correction, deep, deep peace. All of these things are experiences I have had in prayer. And, you know, prayer led me to a love of my favorite spiritual discipline, if you will, of course, worship. And, you know, these two things, prayer and worship, they aren't two things that, I'm going to do this on my list of things to do because I'm a Christian. No, prayer and worship are actually gifts to us. Prayer and worship are gifts from the Lord that He really wants us to take and run with. He wants us to use those times and spaces as an opportunity to meet with Him and connect with Him, to communicate with Him. And in those times and spaces, He communicates back to us and ministers to us in the same way. Really, I realized, prayer is like spoken worship often, and worship is often sung prayer. When you think of the songs we sang even this morning, if we just spoke them out loud, they would sound like prayer. They would be an expression from God's people to Him. Okay, let's jump into the actual topic today, which is the plan for prayer, and let's talk about this word plan. My very, very first question of three that I want to ask today is, why have a plan for prayer? Why plan for this? Well, I mean, I guess we could ask that about almost anything. If you wanted to get married and have a wedding, why would you plan for that? Or if you are a teacher and you have a classroom full of students, why do you have a plan for them in that day, that term, that semester? If you're a builder and you have plans in front of you, why do you follow those plans? Well, a lot of those answers are probably pretty clear and pretty obvious, but there are actually studied items about the concept of planning and the preparation of planning. And the experts, they tell us a number of things that are actually quite interesting about planning. I'm just going to talk about a few of them. For example, having a plan for a task can help break that task down into small, realistic steps for you. Having a plan for a task helps promote your commitment to that task. For some people, it actually motivates them towards that task. Having a plan for a task reduces the number of uncertainties or unknowns about that task. And having a plan for a task increases the likelihood of that task actually getting finished or completed. So, could it be true if we took those principles and applied them to prayer and applied them to our lives? Could these things be beneficial and could these be true about prayer? Okay, well, let's be a little bit honest with ourselves. If having a regular time of prayer is something new to you or something that you need to reintroduce in your life, then making a plan for prayer can break that task down into smaller, more realistic pieces for you, something that you can tackle one day at a time. If you struggle with sticking to a commitment, then maybe having a written plan can assist you with starting and kind of that stick-to-itiveness. If distractions typically get in your way, or if you don't know where to begin, having a plan can help reduce those stressors, take away the unknowns, and help you get rolling with it. If you love to start a project, but you have trouble finishing certain tasks, a plan would be hugely beneficial to you. Because again, it will give you something that you can tackle just one day at a time. Now, maybe before I go on, I just want to say one thing. And that is that there are people hearing me today that love this word plan. It's part of who they are and their design. Maybe you're a list person, you like flowcharts or graphs, or you love projects that has, you know, beginning, middle, and end. And that is amazing. You hear me talk about having a plan for prayer and you're really excited about it. Awesome. Take it and run with it and go for it. But there'll be just as many people that are hearing me today that the word plan just kind of like makes you cringe or and just like, you know, feel a little sick to your stomach. That's okay. That's all right. You're just designed a little bit differently. So for those of you that are maybe more creative or you think of yourself as being more spontaneous or perhaps you just get like overwhelmed by the idea of having a larger plan, I'd want to just capture your attention for a moment if you're in those latter categories. I want you to just track with me a little bit today because I think what you'll find is just having some structure in this part of your life will be hugely beneficial to you. Not a debilitating amount of structure, not a restrictive amount of structure, but just enough structure that your spontaneity and your creativity can thrive. Just enough of a parameter and a plan that will allow you to not feel so overwhelmed and or will allow you to take that spontaneity and use it within the plan. Maybe you want to have a regular time of prayer, but you want it to be at a different time every day. Maybe you want to have a regular time of prayer, but you want to be in a different place every day. That is okay. How you are designed and how you meet with God are actually intertwined. And so I encourage you, be sensitive to who you are and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when we're talking about this. And please don't feel that you are being squished into a box and you have to do this a certain way. Romans 8:1, great scripture, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are a Jesus follower, there is a way for you to do this that will work for you and is realistic for you. Okay, let's jump back into the notes. Think about the verse Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of you could repeat this off by heart, but I'll read it right now. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Why is this such a powerful verse? Why do so many of us hold this verse closely? Well, it's powerful and it's meaningful because it tells us very clearly that God has a plan for each and every one of us. It's unique for every one of us. And that it could be a path, a calling, a blueprint, if you will, of your life. God's plan for us provides those steps along the way that lead us towards fulfilling our purpose or our calling. Okay, let me just say that again. God's plan for us has steps for us along the way that help us fulfill our calling and our purpose here on earth. Very, very similarly, when we put a plan in place for something like prayer, that plan has steps for us that help us towards that place where prayer will fulfill its place in our lives, where we will fulfill our calling towards prayer. And so it's very, very similar. Our plans for prayer, when we put them in place, they provide those steps that move us towards fulfilling the purpose of prayer in our lives. And I think that we all want to be fruitful believers, right? We all want to be people that are thriving in our faith, that are impacting other people. And that, we must recognize, really requires an investment of time with the Lord through prayer. And the best way to ensure that investing is happening is, of course, to have some sort of a plan. And I promise you, it is psychologically proven that if you put in a little self-discipline at the beginning, that can help cause a habit. When you have a habit in your life, it becomes very natural to you. When something is natural to you, it becomes a part of who you are and what you do. So, in short, why have a plan for prayer? Well, Proverbs 21:5 in the Amplified tells us this. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance." So having a plan in place for prayer, that was a lot of peace. Having a plan in place for prayer, that wasn't intentional, I promise you. That actually provides a framework for regular prayer that is abundant, fruitful, productive, effective. Having a plan helps that initial investment of self-discipline become a habit, and it helps that habit become natural to you. When something is natural to you, it's just part of who you are and what you do. Okay. So that is some of the why have a plan. Now let's talk about what. What is the plan for prayer? Well, the plan for prayer starts with what Pastor Brad was talking about a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about understanding what prayer is exactly and making prayer a priority in our lives. Okay, so then what is the next step to have a plan? Well, the next step would be understanding what Pastor Vince was just talking about last week, that next step of knowing that prayer and faith work together in our lives. And, you know, these things often spur one another on. Okay, so now what is the next step? Well, the next step is kind of, you know, fulfilling that what. What am I going to do in this prioritized time that I have set aside in this place for spending time with the Lord? What am I going to do? Well, the good news is there are loads of options. And this is where we get really, really practical. So let's just look at a few things that are available to us that we can use, almost like tools in our hands, to help us guide through planned times of prayer and study with the Lord. Okay. If you have a device of any kind, there is something called the YouVersion app. You've heard us talk about this 100 times. I'm sure most of you have this already on your device. YouVersion, all one word. Go to the app store or whatever the equivalent is. Download that. It'll look like a little Bible icon on your device. And if you open that and start meandering through there, you're going to see plans of every length on every topic for anybody, no matter what your gender, age, preferences are. You're going to find something in there, I promise, that you will find of interest to you. All right. Another option would be actual devotional books. So these are books that are designed, written and designed for those of us that want to have a dedicated time with Christ. So there'll be scripture, commentary, sometimes songs. Some of them are topical. Some of them are day by day. They're available at House of James or any Christian bookstore online, of course. Fantastic resources. Okay, one more. Okay, if you would like something that's going to take you a little deeper into the topic of prayer, maybe you're in a rut in your prayer life, or you want some fresh inspiration, there are many, many, many great books that are written on prayer. Any pastor here will have suggestions for you. I have just a couple here with me today. And this is something that can kind of help not only deepen your understanding, but kind of kickstart your passion for prayer again in your lives. These are all great resources. These are things that are largely available to most of us. We have access to them all the time. But they also fit certain times and places in our life. And I want you to consider a different resource that we have, something that's a little different than something that is, you know, inspired by the Lord, but really man-made. I want to go back and ask the question, what is the plan for prayer? Okay, who is our example then for a plan for prayer? Well, Jesus is our example for all things. So if we go and look at in the Word and say, Jesus, what did you show us about your plan to pray? Well, Pastor Brad, Pastor Vince, they've talked about the fact that Jesus often went away in solitude, often in the morning, to pray on his own. And the disciples are watching this and they're thinking, okay, this is completely different than their experience. Grown Jewish men who would have been taught to pray in the temple, to pray certain prayers at certain festivals and those types of things. Jesus' relationship with his Father was completely different. And so they wanted to know, what are you doing, Jesus? And can you teach us this thing that you are doing and experiencing? And so he did. In Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13, he says, this then is how you should pray. And he shows the disciples how they should pray. We affectionately call this scripture the Lord's Prayer. I want to look at the Lord's Prayer this morning through a fresh lens. Last January, you'll remember, we looked at the Lord's Prayer and we broke it down verse by verse and we talked about it topically, and the series was great. It was really inspirational. I know I learned a lot. But let's just look at those verses, those same verses, with a slightly different lens today. And let's ask ourselves, okay, what if Jesus was actually giving his disciples a guide for prayer? So not a set prayer to recite every time they want to pray, but instead a guide or a pattern or a plan to pray. So let's look at the Lord's Prayer together. I'm going to break it down phrase by phrase, and we'll make some suggestions along the way as to what we could include in our times of prayer based on the Lord's Prayer. Okay, here we go. Let's start with our Father in heaven. So every time we pray, we can start by recognizing, of course, who we're praying to, who he is, and who he is to us, and that is very meaningful. Hallowed be your name. When we pray, we want to honor the Lord. We want to worship him in his name. Studying the name of God can be very powerful. There's 20-something names of Jesus and God in the Bible, and it is full of his character and his beauty and his love. And we want to recognize and honor the strength and the power, the holiness, and the beauty that is in his name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is during our time of prayer. We want to be praying for God's agenda, for his plan, for his will to take place. Give us this day. Well, when we pray, we want to remind ourselves that we are entirely dependent on him. And this is where we bring our requests to him, our questions, our requests on behalf of those that we love, on behalf of ourselves. And it's where we recognize really that God is the source of all things, and he is our resource for all things. Okay, forgiveness. Forgiveness, you know, when we spend time with God, we want to make sure that we are right with him. We make ourselves right with him, and we do that through asking for forgiveness. Forgiveness from sin, anything that stands between us and God. It could be words, behaviors, attitudes, patterns of thinking, anything that we want to clear our slate before the Lord. And he, in turn, can use that time to remind us of things that maybe we're not aware of or we've forgotten that we need to ask forgiveness for. Prayer is also a time to receive that forgiveness. God does not withhold his forgiveness. If you know him and you ask him for forgiveness, he is going to grant that to you. And so prayer is a beautiful time to ask for and receive forgiveness. But it can also be a time of granting forgiveness to others. So it can be a time of prayer, especially when you're led by the Holy Spirit, to think of those that maybe have hurt you or have damaged something that is important to you, and you can release yourself from that, and you can release them from that thing that happened in the past, even if the past is only an hour ago. And you can forgive them and let that go and move forward. So this is a beautiful time in our time of prayer between us and the Lord. Lead me not into temptation. Otherwise translated, do not allow me to be led into temptation. We want to pray for freedom and protection from temptation and from the plans of the enemy in our lives. And we want to declare that we are God's and God's only, and that we are looking to fulfill his will and purpose in our lives. For yours is the power and the glory. So this is a doxology that was added to the end of the Lord's Prayer to encourage people to praise God as they are finishing prayer. And so this is where we get our chance to express our faith, our appreciation, and acknowledge the fact that nothing is impossible for God. Really, this is our time to honor and thank him for everything. So in following this pattern or this guide or this flow, if you will, of the Lord's Spirit, of the Lord's Prayer, we can cover a lot of ground spiritually and ensure that we don't miss any really like important touch points, if you will. So just to reiterate, if we follow this guide, we recognize who he is and who he is in our lives. We honor his name and his holiness. We pray for his will to be done in our lives and the lives of others around us. We ask him for the things that we need. We walk through the process of forgiveness, the asking for, the receiving of, and the granting of. We pray against temptation and protection over ourselves and our loved ones, and we worship him and recognize that he is able to do all things. So, if you are new to having prayer in your life, or if you're looking to refresh the manner in which you spend time with God or your prayer life, following that pattern of the Lord's Prayer it can be methodical if that's what you love. It can be creative if that's what you love. But most importantly, it is biblical. It is safe. And it is where we can cover a lot of ground with the Lord during that time of prayer with him. Okay. So we have asked, why have a plan for prayer? We've looked at some really practical what's in terms of what we can do during our time of prayer. Now, I want to ask a little bit of a harder question. This is less about the practical side of prayer and more about the reality of a lifetime of prayer or a life of a pattern of prayer. And this actually piggybacks right on top of what Pastor Vince was talking about last week. And this question is really a series of questions. They are this. What about when his plan differs from our plan? What about when we bring something to the Lord and his timing is different than ours? What about when his answer to our prayer is very different than what we had expected? Well, let's go to the Word. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that actually identify that this is a reality. Starting with Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, and this is the Lord speaking. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Okay, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. A lot of you will know these verses off by heart. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." So the Lord has placed these scriptures in the Word for us for a purpose. He knows we don't see all that he sees. And we know that we don't know all that he knows. And since we don't know what the future holds, we don't always know what is best for us in the long run or even the short term. But he knows. So when struggling with these concepts or this truth, these questions, it's good to take a step back and look at our own understanding of God, our own view of him, because that will directly impact how we approach him, and it will directly impact the type of expectation we have when we bring things to him. If you know God and you understand him well, or as well as you can as a person, you're going to want to approach him. You're going to want to exercise that trust in him. Let me tell you what I mean. So in Paul's closing remarks in his second letter to the Corinthians, so this would be 2 Corinthians chapter 13, at the very end, I believe it's verse 14, Paul refers to the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And when we see God through that lens, it completely changes our approach to him. So when we sort of see that Christ is the source of all grace, that he is our freedom from the power of sin, that he is our freedom from condemnation, and in fact, he is mediating right now for us to the Father. When we see that the Father is the source of all love, as a matter of fact, in 1 John 4, he's described as love itself. He is that love that gave his own Son for our sake, not for his sake, for our benefit, not for his benefit. When we understand that the Holy Spirit is like a friend that is right there with us all the time to care for us and comfort us and guide us, when we see God that way, the grace of Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then we know that ultimately everything we bring to him, it's going to be okay. Because he knows the plans he has for us, and they are to prosper us and not to harm us, and they're to give us hope in a future. And when we know and experience Christ and the Lord, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, when we experience him in our daily lives through prayer, through worship, through trust, then all of these challenging things, all of the times when his timing is not ours, it's so much easier to welcome into our lives. You know, asking God for something in prayer, it can require waiting, and I think this is one of the most challenging things that we face. Because in the waiting, we have to practice our trust in him. In the waiting, you know, we know that maturity is developed, even though we hate the development of maturity in ourselves, because it's hard and can be painful. But, you know, when we have children, we don't give them everything they want, when they want it, how they want it exactly. No, we know what's better for them. And the Lord, I feel, you know, no, he treats us the same way. We are his children. And so he wants to make sure that we're growing and developing in his way. You know, in the same way, when we're waiting, I would hope that we would develop some of that childlike faith. And maybe we let go of some of our childish behaviors. That childlike faith is so beautiful, you know, because children have a unique sense of wonder and awe. They could talk for endless minutes on about the shape of a cloud or how weird kangaroos are, or, you know, whatever is on their mind at that time, whatever is in front of them at that time. And I wonder for those of us that are persisting in prayer right now, for those of us that are waiting in prayer right now, that if we changed our perspective in the way that we looked at this process, instead of waiting in dread, what if we chose to wait with that childlike faith and wonder and awe and ask ourselves, what amazing thing is God going to do here? What is so beyond what I can think or imagine that he is going to bring my way? It completely changes the process of prayer and of waiting for the answer of prayer. We can choose to have that childlike faith, that wonder and that awe, and stand in anticipation of what God is going to do for us. Okay, in closing, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we're reminded of this. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So when we're in that place where we feel like the Lord is being a little slow, like, okay, God, we're ready for this prayer to be answered. Could you take care of it now, please? He's going, hang on, I'm actually being patient with you right now and developing something within you and making sure that you are all becoming people of repentance. So please know, God is not passive. He is not inactive. He is not late. He is moving in his good and perfect timing when you bring things to him. You know, when I think back to that realization that I am standing here today because of the prayers of other people, I think really specifically of my Nana, my grandmother. She was the first person of faith that I ever knew. And she prayed for decades for her children and grandchildren. Many of those prayers she would never have seen come to fruition. She never saw them being answered, but they did, and they were. She did not get to see her own child make peace with the Lord in their later years. She did not get to see two of her grandchildren in ministry. She did not get to see her great-grandchildren give their lives to Christ and serve the body of Christ. But she prayed for these things anyways. And she began in her times of prayer, she began a legacy, really, that has impacted now three generations. And those of us in those generations, we're now picking up that torch, and we're now praying for our children and our one day grandchildren and great grandchildren. And we fully believe that legacy will continue throughout generations, just as the Lord has promised. So let me just say this, and then we'll pray. For those of us that feel inadequate when it comes to prayer, let's remember there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And that we can put into place a very simple plan, one that suits us and fits our personalities and how God designed us, one that is prioritized, that has a place in our life, that partners with our faith. That type of a plan can have enormous impact, not just in this week and today's problems, but in the years to come, in the decades to come, in the generations to come. All right, let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, you are holy and all-powerful. And we bring ourselves to you right now in this moment. We ask that your will would be done in our hearts and in our lives today. We know, Lord, that you are all that we need. You are the provider of hope and peace and strength. You are the provider of direction, and even our sustenance, God, comes from you. We come to you today, Lord, and ask that you would move in our lives and in the lives of the people that we know and we love so dearly. Father, show us where we each need to make our ways right with you. Show us where we need to ask for forgiveness and receive it and grant it to others, God. Jesus, help us to be conduits of your grace in this. And Holy Spirit, guide us through this process. We ask, Lord, for your protection from the plans of the enemy that want to pull us away from you. Because we are yours, Lord, and our desire is to live lives that honor you and honor your ways. Father, you know our every tangible need, and you know our every need that is unseen in our hearts, in our minds, in our very souls. Lord, you can do all things because you are all-powerful and all-knowing, and you are love itself. So stir us up right now, Jesus, to walk out a plan to spend time with you, to read your word, to speak with you, and to follow your example, Lord, of a life dedicated to our Heavenly Father. We pray all of this in the name of the one and only Jesus Christ. Amen.